Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, April 17th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
I like our opening little music. Makes me tap my toe.
Well, we should give a bonus to whoever selected that music.
Thank you very much. And we had a little bit of a bonus in gold today. Not much. Markets kind of are reversing themselves here in the last minutes of trade. But we have gold up 610 today. Should be up much higher, but 610. 610 at 1204.90. Silver down 3 cents. At $16.34. Platinum is up 13 at $11.76. Palladium up 4 at $7.88. I see absolutely no reason why silver would be down today. I mean, that's just silly. But the USDX today was also lower, 0.30 at $97.35. Crude oil, 56.18, down 0.53. Paper markets today had a dumping of such, 279 points. Half hour ago, they were down about 350. Had a little bit of reversal after the half hour of trade was left. So 17,826. The NASDAQ is down 75, 1.5%. 49.31. S&P down 23, 1.14%. 10-year yield 1.85%. And of course, with the pressure that we've seen on the dollar, we have the euro 1.08 for the euro. So, kind of an interesting day in the markets. It started off with Bloomberg. Had an outage, hits the financial world. They had an outage at news and market data provider Bloomberg LP, and it hit the financial markets around the world early this morning. It prompted debt sales to be postponed, and you had a spike in volatility in European stocks. So I guess they're blaming the European markets being down so strong on that little bit of a glitch. They had service that was restored to most customers later on. It was down for about 2 hours. They first reported the Bloomberg systems going down at about 7:20 GMT time, and the screens were blank for most of the following 2 hours, adding that prices were unavailable and the news feed intermittent. It was unclear about what caused the outage on the system, and that system provides financial information to more than 320,000 subscribers globally and allows users to trade across asset classes. So this impact, it was felt widely. It was widely felt. And, you know, Bloomberg, they compete with Reuters in providing this financial news and information. And so the markets were a little frantic first thing this morning. And but Bloomberg says, you know, it was, you know, not so bad. Significant, but not all parts of their systems experienced the disruption. There was no indication at this point that this is anything other than an internal network issue. We have restored service to most customers, and they are making progress in bringing all parts of the system back online. You know, maybe the Russians did it, Al. That's what
I don't
saying.
Even think
they
the blame Russians.
Anything.
That's sneaky.
I'm being.
I understand that. So am I.
I mean, we had other.
Oh, I can do that too, Melody.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I can.
But so that was how the market started out. Early this morning, and of course there was a lot of pressure on the markets all day long.
Well, times are tough, Melody, and the pressures abound.
There was a consumer confidence improved in April to the second highest level in more than 8 years, as Americans held more favorable views of the economic outlook and inflation. So you had the University of Michigan. That was their report. The preliminary index climbed to 95.9
out
this
of what?
Month from 93.
Out of 100?
Mm-hmm. The median projection in a Bloomberg survey of economists called for an increase to 94. And
out of 100, out of a scale of 0 to 100, we're up to 94-95% confident?
That's what it says, yeah.
Well, I look at that, and I mean, these people are crazy. I mean, I understand you can have a difference of opinion, and some people are more confident, legitimately so, than I am, and some people are less confident. But 95? This is one of those things like, this is time to buy, folks. No, it depends on what you're doing. It's time to buy gold, sell other things, because this just can't be sustained. 95 out of 100?
Well, the thing of it is, with this sentiment, this index, and this is a preliminary index. The stock market is over 18,000. That's the whole reason. That's how you keep the consumer confidence level so high. It's all based on the stock market. They could be hungry, broke, and living on the street. But hey, that stock market is high, and so everybody else other than me must be doing well. And maybe I'll be able to find a job with that stock market so high, because that's
or
a sign of the economy.
You'll be able to get better welfare.
That's a sign of the economy. So there was one other report. The cost of living in the U.S., excluding food and fuel, rose 0.2% in March for a third month, signaling inflation is starting to firm. The increase reflected broad-based gains in rents, medical care, clothing, and used vehicles, and that is from the Labor Department. And there was also some economic data from China, and they did some changing in their markets, and due to mainly a lot of discussion is their leverage. The China news shows that there's a lot of leverage in that market, and feeling that there's a lot of leverage in ours. And this leverage, you know, it's an indicator of how vulnerable the market can be. And so they did some changing around with their margin calls. So you had their, and they're up, gosh, they doubled. I think the Chinese, Shanghai doubled, you know, in the past how many months. But their stock index tumbled about 2% in after-hour trading after the regulators did clamp down on their use of shadow financing to buy equities. So that might put a little bit of pressure on some of the world markets. I know the Asian markets were all down. I know Germany was down like 2%. So this was Monday should prove to be an interesting day.
They are. They're all interesting to me. They're bewildering sometimes and confusing, but hard to find
like
a day that's not interesting. It's all interesting.
When there's more action, it's more interesting. So I like to see some action. But there was also some other news. I'm not sure I have this quickly available, Al, but I had wanted to talk about the meeting that is being held. Oh, I lost it here. Not me, but the article.
Mm-hmm.
There's two meetings this weekend, you have top Japan and U.S. trade officials are planning to meet this weekend, seeking to close gaps over autos and farm trade before the Prime Minister Abe visits Washington later this month. You have the Economy Minister Amari announced plans for the talks with the U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman late Friday. The U.S. and Japan must agree on market opening measures before the 12 countries involved can reach a long-delayed final accord on the U.S.-led Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that is the Pacific Rim Trade Pact, and an agreement by your U.S. lawmakers Thursday to propose legislation allowing President Barack Obama to negotiate trade accords for overall congressional review appeared to help move things along. The plan for cabinet-level talks suggests that the two sides made progress this week on resolving differences over the pace and scale of market openings. So your leaders are taking us down a path that will continue with the destruction of this country, the economy, and sovereignty as we know it. And next week we should start talking a little bit more about this Trans-Pacific Partnership. We ran several articles in a newsletter before, and it's important. And
well, they've conducted the negotiations largely in secret.
Yes.
And this will be another one of those events where we had Nancy Pelosi encouraging everyone to vote for Obamacare, and you have to vote for it so you can see what's in it, because the Congress hadn't read the bill before they voted for it. And that'll be the same thing here. You have to vote for it before you can find out what's in it. And I don't doubt that your ability to learn what's happening right now in the Trans-Pacific Partnership is evidence that whatever is going to happen, you're not going to like it. It's going to do as much for the American economy as Obamacare did for health care. All right? You, ladies and gentlemen, are going to get beat up again by your government. And they're going to have some song and dance and blame other people. But it's like Congress has no business surrendering those powers to the President of the United States. Congress, they just want to sit there and collect money. Anybody got a campaign contribution for me? Got some money for me? Come on, I'm a congressman, I'm a senator. Give me some money. If you got any bills, you got enough money, we will broker those bills. Don't ask me to read them. I don't intend to read your legislation. Just how much money you got? That's where they are right now. They're no longer legislators. They're just brokers of legislation. People write it, pay them enough money, and they push it.
And they gave him free rein to do the negotiations. So all of those new Republicans that everybody thought was going into office this past November and that they were really going to stick up for the American people, look what they've done. What have they done to Obamacare? What have they done to anything else? Nothing. They've done nothing.
Yep.
So now here they are giving him a little bit more free rein in order to make these negotiations. So
it isn't just a question of the Republican Congress is giving Obama a certain amount of
They're
power.
They're not even saying anything about to try and stop it.
I get that. What I'm getting to is this. Obama is even going against the Democrats. He's siding with the Republicans. It's not just a matter of where the Republicans are given. Here's some more rope, Obama. Take this. He is siding with the Republicans.
They want
and working against many of the people in the Democrat Party that are sitting back and saying, well, I don't think this is a good idea. And the point, the implication, is that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is being negotiated for the better, for the enrichment of those people who own and operate multinational corporations. It's not going to do me any good. It's not going to do you any good, Melody, not to speak of. What we're going to see is this will create an opportunity for multinational corporations who have manufacturing facilities in Asia and customers in the United States or Europe to make higher profits. That's what's going to happen. It'll be good for the top 1% or top 10th of a percent, but it's not going to be good for the vast majority of the American people. So, betrayed again, but... Again, it's not just a matter of pointing a finger and saying, look, Obama's responsible. The Republicans are responsible.
They're all responsible.
Democrats. We are all responsible.
We are all responsible.
We have allowed too many villains and hustlers and con artists to occupy positions of power in our legislature, in our courts, in our executive branch of government. And this is all going to come back to haunt us. All right? Going to be a while, maybe. Might be another year or two. I don't know when, but it's going to come back to haunt. And when it does, the people are going to scream and say, oh, my gosh, how could this happen? It happened every night you spent watching Dancing with the Stars. All right? It happened whenever you refused to read a book and instead preferred to catch up on the hot gossip on YouTube or whatever on the Internet.
So
we've been an irresponsible people, and we're going to pay a price for it.
So just remember, when this gets passed, remember old Ross Perot and that sucking sound that you're to hear.
That's right.
And
he warned about NAFTA back, 1992?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
he warned about it right there. Did anyone pay any attention? No. We're going to pay attention soon. And when we do, it'll be because we are in a state of great financial stress and perhaps suffering. And then we're going to stand around and act like we're innocent, but the truth is we're not innocent, we're ignorant. And there's a difference. You can solve ignorance by reading, paying attention, finding programs that might educate you, finding books, finding articles on the Internet, getting involved in these concepts. And if you won't do it, guess what? They're going to get involved in your life. And when they do, you will not like it.
There hasn't been a lot of conversation about this weekend. You also have world leaders here converging in Washington. It's their semi-annual trek to the Capitol, what is still the world's most powerful economy. Concern is rising in many quarters that the U.S. is retreating from global economic leadership just when it is needed most. You have the spring meetings of the IMF and the World Bank. They have filled Washington. There's tons of meetings and schedules for Obama and Treasury Secretary Liu. But they have also highlighted what some see as the United States government so bitterly divided that it is on the verge of ceding the global economic stage it built at the end of World War II. A chief economic advisor to the government of India said it's almost handing our legitimacy to the rising powers. He says people can't be too public about these things, but he would argue this is the single most important issue of these spring meetings, which is the United States losing its clout. Washington's retreat is not so much by intent, but a result of dysfunction. This is a guy from India. And a lack of resources to project economic power the way it once did. Because of tight budgets and competing financial demands, the United States is less able to maintain its economic power as China gains influence in Asia and elsewhere. And because of political infighting, it has been unable to formally share it either. You have Obama, this article goes on, trying to hold the stage At least he's pitching his efforts to secure a major trade accord, of course, with 11 other Pacific nations. He told reporters on Friday, the fastest growing markets, the most populous markets are going to be in Asia. And if we do not help to shape the rules so that our businesses and workers can compete in those markets, then China will set up the rules that advantage Chinese workers and Chinese businesses. That's how they're going to sell the public. If we don't do it, then China is going to take your job. They're going to take it anyway. So, and I saw an article in response that if when this gets passed, you already have China working on their own trade agreement to compete with this group, to compete with this trade agreement. So, crazy stuff.
I understand the world is increasingly unstable, competitive, and dangerous. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Back in a moment.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3ws.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just wanted to finish this one note by a World Bank official, and that way we can finish up that topic that we were talking about prior to the bank. World Bank official, he wrote recently, the United States has lost its way and is rapidly forfeiting claims to global financial, economic, political, and moral leadership. Mm-hmm. And he blamed the White House. And it's not for the first time. Obama has shown he can talk eloquently, but does not have the political clue how to get things done. But maybe we'll post this article also in our newsletter, and people can get to it by going to dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and, of course, sign up for the weekly newsletter. And this little information now is for Pennsylvania listeners. It's for all our listeners, but specifically our Pennsylvania listeners.
Do we have any polka music?
I loved a polka.
I think if we're just going to talk to Pennsylvania or talk about it, I think, don't we have to play some polka music?
I loved a polka. It's a very, keeps you in shape. But be serious now. On Tuesday, okay, March 3rd, 2015, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf introduced his 2015-16 proposed budget plan. And to help pay for this budget, the governor would raise the sales tax from 6% to 6.6%. And he would greatly increase the number of services and items, which also include investment metal bullion and investment coins. They would no longer be tax exempt. So right now, if you live in Pennsylvania and you purchase from Discount Gold and Silver, there are no sales tax on your gold and silver investment coins. They're looking to repeal that tax exemption. And there has been a strong there's been a I guess the lobbyists here in Pennsylvania are trying to make sure that this doesn't happen. There was the associations, the various coin associations. They're looking to make sure that this doesn't get done. They have a strategy to oppose the inclusion of investment metal bullion and investment coins in the items that is targeted by the governor's budget. So I'm asking the Pennsylvania listeners to make sure that you contact your state representative and state senator and tell them that you do not want to support Governor Wolf's 2015-16 proposed budget plan, which includes the investment metal bullion investment coins in the items targeted for sales tax exemption repeal. You can go to their website, the State Pennsylvania website, and you can find out who, find out the state representatives and your state senator. And any of you outside of Pennsylvania, you can also send them notes and just identify yourself and get to the point. And because once you have states reversing these exemptions, whether you're in Pennsylvania, whether you're in, you know, any other state that has these exemptions, the states are in such bad condition, you might find that you have the same battle in your state. So we can't let them do that. We have a chance to say no. So Pennsylvanians are asking your help, and let's see if we can't get that out of that budget.
I think one of the things for people to understand is that if you're not in Pennsylvania, you're still going to be able to purchase coins. Even if this proposal passes, you're still going to be able to purchase coins from Discount without paying sales tax.
True.
All right? You won't have to pay Pennsylvania sales tax because you're in another state. And those that are in Pennsylvania, I mean, 49 states will not be affected, but Pennsylvania, the sales tax for Pennsylvanians will go up by really 6.6% on your gold coins. Right now, there's nothing there. It would go up for Pennsylvania by 6.6%, and the rest of people aren't going to be harmed. But if you let this happen in one place, it'll happen in another. And it's evidence, again, of government that is under increasing financial stress and it wants to tax something, anything, got to have more money, we got to tax something. One of the problems with this, I'm not familiar, I don't know how the sales tax works well enough where I can say exactly what's going on, but I'm going to bet that if, I'm going to suspect, I won't necessarily bet on this, but I'm going to suspect that insofar as sales tax is not required, It provides for a level of anonymity when you purchase gold or silver coins. If it turns out that you have to pay sales tax, I'm wondering if the resulting record will give people a clue.
No.
In government, they'll say, uh-oh.
No,
Smith over here, he bought 24 gold coins. He's got to have them someplace.
No, it's just based on the receipts. It's not individually tagged.
It's not individually tagged.
I mean, I do have to keep my Pennsylvania orders separate from my other orders. You know, so internally in my office, yes, I have to keep it separate. But when paying the state sales tax, it is just a...
All they need is, all they care about is bottom line.
Bottom line.
Yeah, give me more money. That's
bottom
all.
Line. That's all they want is more money, more money, more money.
All right.
So, folks, give them a call. Tell them no. Write them. Tell them no. And well, let's see what we can do. Greece has moved back toward the front burner. Greece and the IMF and the European Union officials, debt restructuring talks, they're not going well. Greece has asked the IMF if they could delay a debt payment, and the IMF said no. And the group meets again tomorrow in Brussels to continue their negotiations. Yet Greek bond yields, of course, you know, with the possibility of them defaulting, you have those yields that are beginning to rise significantly. Greece being able to pay its debt without serious economic reforms, you'll see those yields rising. The safe haven German government bonds have hit record low yields this week, particularly on the worries about Greece exiting the European Union. We saw European stock markets were also feeling some selling pressures on Greece's worries. I also saw recently in the news that Greece is now beginning to sell its assets. So... this problem has not gone away, and Al, I just wish they would do it, default and get it over with.
Well, creditors, the problem you've got is it's something like $1.1 billion that's due in the next month, and I think their total debt is over $300 billion. Problem is $300 billion in this world is not that much money. We could do that. We could pay it off ourselves and say, here, we'll pay the Greeks' debt. Now, let's not hear any more of this. Well, it's possible that could happen. But the danger isn't so much that they lose $300 billion, that Greece defaults on $300 billion or thereabouts. The danger is that $300 billion might be used as collateral. Those notes, those Greek notes, they might be used as collateral in other banks under fractional reserve banking to justify the spending of 10, 20 times that amount of currency, to justify loans of 10, 20 times the face value of those bonds. In theory, if there's $300 billion out there, there could be loans of $3 trillion that are based on that $300 billion in Greek bonds. And if it turns out that Greece defaults on the bonds, then there's no collateral to support $3 trillion worth of loans, in theory. Not necessarily true, but it may be. And if they have the bonds, say, oh, Greece just defaulted on $300 billion. Well, guess what? The banks are probably going to have to, in theory, the banks may have to call in $3 trillion in loans to other countries in Europe and wherever who are holding these Greek bonds, where the banks are holding the Greek bonds. So the consequences, thanks to fractional reserve banking, may be huge multiples. Greece and its debt may be the least of anybody's worries. Might be the multiples under fractional reserve banking that are the big problem. And that may be why somebody's got to, you know, make good on Greece's loans. And in my opinion, someone probably will. If the idea about fractional reserve banking that I'm trying to explain, if that's fundamentally correct, that they put $300 billion worth of Greek bonds in a vault, and then they, based on that, they can loan $3 trillion to European consumers. If that's true, then somebody's got to come up with the $300 billion for Greece. because the consequences of not doing so are too great to be risked. The risk is too great, and they won't do that. But if they do, pretty much somebody's got to lend the money. Someone's got to lend money to Greece. They've got to lend another $300 billion. I made a joke about the United States just saying, here, we'll pay for it, and you just shut up about this problem. Well, maybe we could do that. But in theory, but if you do, every debtor nation in the world is going to come to say, ha, ha, ha. They're willing to just write off our debts. We'll get the Euro, you get the Euro, the United States to pay our debts, or the European Union, or the IMF, or the World Bank, or the European Central Bank, or somebody will pay our debts, and then we can live large, you know? You can't send that message out to the people that we can just repay the debt by printing it. And on the other hand, you can't lend more money to Greece because they're already so much in debt, they can't pay the existing loans. How are they going to pay new loans? So we're caught in a very strange situation, and we'll just have to watch and see what happens. But one of the points about all this is if you look at, you study the Greek situation in terms of the size of its national debt and the number of people that are employed and its prospects for an economic prosperity in the future, and you compare that to the United States, and although you'll see that we're on a different magnitude, all right? We're not all that different from Greece. We're in a circumstance, although it hasn't manifested yet to the same sense it's manifested in Greece, we are in a circumstance, or at least approaching a circumstance, that's very similar to whatever's happening in Greece. And what do we see there? Watch closely, because you might be seeing much the same thing in this country over the course of the next few years. We'll watch and see how soon that happens. And again, we live in interesting times, and Greece is only adding to that interest. Here's an article on Greece.
Hey,
why
Al.
It's proving hardest. Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Al, I would just like to say to the listeners, if anyone would like to call in, our phone number is 1-800-596-8. I'm sorry. That's the old one. That's the one that's no longer in service. It's 855-566-3738. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question, 855-566-3738. I guess someone was calling the number that was no longer active at AVR. So 855-566-3738.
All right. Well, you know, point I'm making, at least trying to make, is that Greece is in a difficult situation, and it's because, and they agree in an article I'm looking at, and the headline to the article is why it's proving hard to save Greece. Of course it's hard to save Greece. It's impossible to save Greece. They want to save Greece by getting Greece that's broke and non-productive to pay the existing loans. It can't. Again, it's like trying to squeeze blood out of a Grecian rock. It's not going to happen. And you aren't going to save Greece without writing off that debt, or at least much of it, and Greece knows it. The rest of the world knows it. The creditors know it. Nobody wants to admit it, but that's the problem with this. And Greece is in this mess because they borrowed an enormous amount of money over the past decade, a decade ago largely, when times were good, and they said, ha, 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 we can go into debt and live large. Well, now the day has come to pay that debt. And it's created a problem that they can't get around. And the same thing will be true for the United States of America. We've gone into an enormous debt. At the same time, we've lost a significant part of our industrial capacity. Some of the businesses relocated to China and other third world countries. They may be coming back. They're talking about coming back now. They've been gone for a decade talking about coming back. But when they do, they won't bring the jobs back. They'll bring robots back with them. We are never going to regain the industrial base that we had in the past. I don't think we will. And without that, I don't think we're ever going to see levels of prosperity in this country comparable to what we enjoyed in the 50s and the 60s. And I don't see any way to get around that. And from my perspective, it just means that the day is coming when the United States will be trapped in a predicament. Openly, everybody's going to know it. There'll be no denying, no deception, no shuck and jive, no smoke and mirrors. They're going to say, oh my gosh, we're in big trouble. And when we get to it, there won't be a painless solution. The debt will be repudiated and the public will be... We'll go into a period of austerity and very difficult times, and we'll stay there for 5 or 10 years. And then we'll get back to business as usual, but people will have to accept the idea that they're going to have to work, and they can't rely on government to just borrow and borrow and go deeper in debt to support us. That's what we've been doing for probably 40 years or more. We didn't know it, but we've been doing it, and we'll learn that lesson in the near future. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survivor, and we have a caller, Roy from Pennsylvania. Roy, what you got for us?
Well, Alfred, I have 2 points. One is this going to be a discriminatory tax, sales tax on gold and silver versus stocks, bonds, real estate, etc.? And the second is, being in Pennsylvania and the Philadelphia Mint is located in Philadelphia, will I be charged a state sales tax if I buy any coins from the U.S. Mint?
That's actually, your second question in particular is pretty interesting. It really does raise an interesting point. What about taxes on coins coming from the U.S. Mint? I will make a bet, without knowing an answer on this thing, I'll make a bet that may explain why they allowed exemptions in the first place.
No,
they didn't want to address that issue.
No, there's a lot. I don't know about that one, but
I'm just speculating. So, what do you? Well, Again, your second question's fast. I find that fascinating. Your first question was, again, what did you say the first question was?
So basically, will it be discriminatory because will they put a sales tax on stocks, bonds, real estate, other investment categories?
Well, I don't have an answer for you because I haven't read the law and I'm not familiar with it. I don't know what they've said, if they've said anything about it. Melody, have they?
You'd think it would be.
I think it'd have to be.
But there's other states, and again, Pennsylvania had this tax prior to 2006 through various lobbying with Harrisburg and so forth. They were able to initiate the exemption in the year 2006. So they don't view it as it being any type of discrimination involved, but there's several states that have the same tax. There's some states like Florida, I believe, that anything under $1,000 in precious metals, there's tax. I think Texas has one similar to that. So, you know, it does vary from state to state as far as the sales tax that's involved. The best thing to do, Roy, is give them a call and tell them not to, pull it out of there.
It ain't broke. Don't try to fix it.
Yep.
It's working just fine as it is.
And it is discrimination when you think about it. If you're not going to be sales taxed on your, on your other investments, why should they sales tax you on precious metals?
That's exactly right.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate your call. What else, Melody?
Well, there was a little bit of Russian news today.
All right. Article in the AFP, that's the French press. U.S. troops in Ukraine to train forces fighting pro-Russian rebels. Hundreds of U.S. paratroopers have arrived in the Ukraine to train its forces fighting pro-Russian rebels. A move Moscow warned could destabilize the war-torn ex-Soviet country. Soldiers of the 173rd Airborne Brigade have been arriving over the last week. We will have about 300 soldiers from the 173rd Airborne Brigade on the ground, providing the training that will last over the next 6 months. You know, on the face of it, people say, well, that's not that big a deal exactly, a couple hundred soldiers. But I'm reminded of the Vietnam War, which I recall. In fact, I was in the military during Vietnam, but I was not in Vietnam. But I'm reminded of the Vietnam War, which started with sending a handful of U.S. special forces and advisors into Indochina to assist the South Vietnamese in their battle against the Viet Cong and or the North Vietnamese. Eventually, inevitably, one of the U.S. advisors was killed by the North Vietnamese and or Viet Cong. I remember this was big news in the United States. This was headlines. One man, one American soldier had been killed in a jungle someplace. And I remember as a teenager, this was probably my first awareness of Vietnam. It may have been the first time I'd ever even heard of Vietnam. And it was, where is this place? Where did this guy die? I didn't know where Vietnam even was. But I remember the headlines, and it was big news at the moment. America let out a collective gasp. The communists had dared to kill an American soldier. Therefore, it was only right that we retaliated by sending more American soldiers to Vietnam. We'd fix them. And the North Vietnamese killed another U.S. soldier, and then 10 more, and then 100 more. So naturally, we sent even more American soldiers to Vietnam. The end result is a black wall in Washington, D.C., with the names of over 50,000 Americans who died in Vietnam for no good reason that any politician can articulate in public to this day. What'd they die for? The domino theory? If we didn't stop them in Vietnam, it was just a question of time before they took over Peoria. That was what people thought. That was the argument. That was the rationale. In fact, we didn't stop them. And what happened? Nobody took over Peoria except the federal government. All right? Vietnam, the communists, essentially, the communist theory just fell apart with the disintegration of the of the former Soviet Union. And now, and we've had similar events in Iraq where we, what did we go to Iraq for? To get the weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. All right? I mean, they come up with these, somebody wants a war. And they come up with some pretext or excuse. And they push the nation into these idiotic wars. And I don't know that anyone is really, I don't know that anyone benefits other than the manufacturers of military equipment and bombs and rockets and so on. And now we're sending 300 American soldiers to Ukraine. Anyone want to bet what will happen if one or more of those soldiers are killed in Ukraine? Do you think we'll get another dose of newspaper articles? Oh my gosh, the pro-Russian rebels have killed an American soldier. Will it be required, instead of sending in a brigade, will we have to send in a division? How many Americans will have to go to Ukraine? You know, somewhere along the line, there's a point here where maybe we need to learn to just mind our own business. And I know a lot of people say American leadership, control, power requires us to not mind our own business. And they might be right. But in the end, you can't be the world's Superman forever. There are too many problems. No nation can handle it. Eventually, it wears the attempt to do so just wears you out, exhausts you in a way where one of the articles Melody has talks about America has essentially lost its capacity for leadership. There's a certain amount of point. There's a certain point to that. We've gone broke trying to play this game. We thought we were big. We thought we were bad, and we were. We had the world by the tail, but it wasn't enough. We had to absolutely control the world, not just have it by the tail. We had to control the world. And how's that worked out? I don't think it's worked out well. We would have been better off, in my opinion, set up United States with a solid and reliable border. Right? And then sit back, and if the rest of the world wants to go to, you know, Helk, then let them. We'll protect ours. We'll protect us. We'll protect ours and let the rest of the world do whatever it wants to please. Just now know this. You mess with us and we will nuke you back into the Stone Age. That's all you need to know. You'll cease to exist. You want to fight with everybody else? Fight with them. I don't care. We're not going to get involved. Just protect this country. And instead we have a government that, if the last country on earth that is receiving serious protection, well, this is an exaggeration. This isn't true entirely. The last country is the United States. They won't protect our borders. How can it be that we are involved in some sort of another fracas over in Iraq and Syria and wherever? Halfway around the world. Oh, we've got to go fight over there. But we don't have to protect our own borders. Illegal aliens cannot just pour into this country, they can be encouraged to pour into this country. Jobs flow overseas, people are put into unemployment and poverty, and we bring more illegal aliens into the country. This is evidence of a government that's bound and determined to destroy this country, not to heal it, not to generate a recovery, an economic recovery, but to create more and more dependence, whose only means of survival is to get more money out of the government. Who's going to get it where? From people who actually work for it and produce it. And in the result, what will we do? We will essentially destroy the productive elements of our society in order to support the non-productive. Is that going to work out? Can that possibly succeed? Can we possibly rebuild the economy by rewarding the non-productive and taxing the productive into oblivion? This is destruction. You know, we talked on one of the... Millet and I had to do a program the hour before this in Memphis. Talked in part about whether or not there's a war already going on in Ukraine. someone had presented an article and said, oh, there's going to be what they're doing. They're going to bring us to war. Aren't we already at war? It's not a shooting war just yet. But aren't we already at war? There was a time throughout most of world history where if you blockaded a port, all right, England would set up a couple of frigates outside some port and wouldn't allow foreign trade to come in or internal trade to be exported and go out. If you blockaded a port, it was deemed an act of war. What have we done by imposing sanctions on Iraq or earlier Iraq and then Iran? We've been sanctioning them for, I don't know, a decade or more. And sanctions on Russia. How different are those sanctions from blockades, which would, in 50 years ago, everyone would understand those were acts of war? It's a different kind of war we're involved in, if you can call it war. So far, it hasn't involved direct shooting of bullets, bombs, missiles between the United States and Russia, or the United States and Iran. But I think you can make a good argument we're at war right now. And will it serve us any better than the Vietnam War? Will it serve us any better than the first Gulf War or the second? Are we going to come out? Are we going to benefit? Are we going to be better off for these idiot wars? I don't think we are. I think what we should be doing with our resources is protecting ourselves, protecting our people, protecting our borders, protecting our markets. Restore high tariffs. You know, we have our productive capacity has been diminished by sending jobs overseas, but we remain the biggest economy in the world. Our markets are the biggest in the world. You can sell stuff here. That's something we should be protecting rather than sharing with anybody who shows up. Oh, yeah, yeah, you can compete here. You can use your cheap labor to compete and take jobs from Americans that are still here. You can use your cheap labor in China to knock out. We're not well served by that, in my opinion. There are people who disagree, and they say, no, in the long run, it'll work out better for us. I don't think it will. We lose our jobs to cheap labor. And we're losing it because our government has declared, let's knock out the tariffs. And we'll let cheap labor compete directly in this country. It's inevitable that that cheap labor will put pressure on workers in this country, where if you want a job, you're going to have to work for less. We had a chance to hold this together if we just kept it for ourselves. You know, it's the same thing we see people who deal drugs. They fight for particular street corners. Some corners are better locations to deal drugs than others. It's the same thing with any other economic market. We had the best corner in the world. It was right here in the United States of America, and the government said, no, let's share it with everyone else. They can't share it with everyone else without depriving the American people of the standard of living they'd previously enjoyed. It can't be done. We're not going to share everything with all the Chinese and the Africans and the people in India and the people throughout the world. They can all come here and sell stuff at reduced prices. It means we won't produce anything, and as we lose our capacity for production, we're headed for big trouble. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're headed for a weekend off. We hope you enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
money, money, money.